The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.
Welcome to Local Flavor Live, a podcast about the food and drink scene in Baltimore. I'm your host, Lauren Cohen, and I'm back today with our food and dining editor, Jane Marion. How are you?
Yo, LC.
That's my favorite, your famous line, that's yo,
how,
LC.
That's how my Thursdays end.
Yes, exactly. I like our Thursday routine of recording this.
I know,
so
me
fun.
Too.
How's your week been?
My week's going really well. I think I've shared with you that my son is getting married.
Congratulations. Mazel to Alex and Marley.
Yeah, Marley Marion. We have had a good laugh over that one.
That's a great name.
Yeah. I'm planning her shower. I'm in charge of all things food.
Excellent.
So I'm putting together a menu, and it's been really fun because it was her mom's idea to do like a campy 60s housewife theme.
Wait, like Mad Men.
Very, very tongue-in-cheek,
of course.
That's
great.
Yeah, so, you know, the 60s, when I was born, 1963 to be exact, you know, that's not an era that was known for its good food, but I've had a really good time because I've been looking into vintage recipes, and I'm going to try to bring some of them up into the 21st century, and others probably keep the same way that they were.
Wait, that's so fun.
Yeah, it has been fun. So I'm doing shrimp cocktail.
Ooh, yum.
Which never goes out of style.
Yeah.
Deviled eggs, and I might put a Maryland twist on it by putting lump crab meat on top.
I love that.
I actually ate that at Linwood's a couple weeks ago, yum. So I can't claim it.
It's so crazy how deviled eggs are such a crowd pleaser, but like when you think about it, it kind of seems gross, but they're delicious.
Eggs are the perfect food. Pretty much every day eat a hard-boiled egg for lunch.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know you've told me that before.
Yeah.
I love deviled eggs and with the crab.
Yeah. It's delicious.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, we're probably going to do some kind of Jell-O mold, but have you ever heard of Jell-O 1-2-3?
Wait, Jell-O 1-2-3?
Jell-O 1-2-3.
I'm imagining like the jiggly mold.
So, you know, Jell-O gets a bad rap, mm-hmm. and I don't know if we're going to be able to make Jell-O 1-2-3 because it was an actual mix made by Kraft in 1969.
Wow.
Wow. I think Jell-O first kind of became a thing. And it was three different layers of Jell-O. And I'm actually going to read this from a website. But the three different layers would partition themselves into their three layers. Each one had a different consistency. Layer one was gelatinous. The next one had the consistency of custard. I remember that was always my favorite layer. And then the final layer was spongy and slight.
Where does the spongy and, come from?
Yeah. I mean, it
like
was just
cake-y?
This miraculous thing.
Okay.
It was just this, each layer was derivation of Jell-O. And what I distinctly remember was I had, the second layer was my favorite.
Okay.
But the idea was that the layers would unfold. You would eat the top
right.
layer, then the next, and then get to the third. But my sisters and I have three sisters.
Uh-huh.
We all had a different technique. My oldest sister would eat all three at the same time and take the spoon and dig deep, whereas I remember being more methodical about each layer and trying to discern the tasting
Wait,
notes of
that's
each
incredible.
Layer. So anyway, I thought it would be funny to bring it back, but I don't know that I can find it.
I hope you can. I feel like that's just like one of those nostalgic things that evokes such memories. I will say that sounds like, you know how there's certain people who are just like really bad with food texture? It sounds like their nightmare. You know, people who don't like textures together.
That's true.
But luckily, I'm fine with food texture, and that sounds kind of cool.
And actually, I like crunch. That's probably
yes.
my favorite mm-hmm. food. I don't like mush. I like crunch.
Yeah.
How about you?
Crunch. Yeah, I'm a crunch person. Mushy stuff, it's like fine. But I'm also the type of person where like if my food is touching on my plate, that doesn't matter. My mom has this saying that she used to tell us when we were little, and she still does when we have dinner. It all goes down the same way.
Oh,
that's
I like
what
that.
She tells us. Like,
I like that.
You know, I think my parents when we were little used to like encourage us to like hide our vegetables in our mashed potatoes. So we would like dig and eat it and find it. I don't know. It's just funny. We're talking about all of our nostalgic dinner.
I know. Really, really. It just all goes back to childhood.
Exactly.
Doesn't it? So yes, I'm putting together this A really fun menu. Stay tuned. The shower is on September 8th.
Oh, that Sunday, sounds September so 8th. Fun. I like the idea of pegging it to a theme. Uh-huh.
And then we're having a wedding tasting this weekend, actually. We're going up to Philly to taste some of the foods that will be at the wedding.
Yeah. Is that fun for you? Or is that kind of like you dine out all the time and you're always experiencing new flavors? It's like...
Yeah, for me, it's not about the food. It's about the wedding. It's about the event. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. I don't think anyone really remembers the food at the wedding.
That's true.
I probably won't even have time to eat, but I want the food to be good.
Yes.
So we're going up there to taste test.
That's beautiful. And they're getting married in Philly.
A Brandywine River Valley.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
Near Longwood.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's going to be so nice. I'm so excited for you guys.
Thank you.
Definitely, you have to keep us posted on the pod how the planning process is going.
I will, absolutely. So yeah. What's happening in the food world?
In the food world, another great week. We had an announcement from Poppy Cuisine. So this, just right from the jump, I want to make sure people understand this is not to be confused with Poppy's Tacos, which is... obviously the staple in Fells Point, and they recently opened a location in Hamden. This is Poppy Cuisine. It's a chef called, his name is Alex Perez, and he has a private chef and catering company that on Instagram, he has amassed more than 140,000 followers, which
wow.
is kind of huge. And I'm telling you, if you scroll through this Instagram enough, you know, give it like maybe even 5 seconds, you will constantly just like immediately have cravings for this. It's like Caribbean fusion fare. Mm-hmm. So baked macaroni and cheese, stuffed, I think it's salmon stuffed with crab imperial, just like very
That's
decadent.
Nostalgic right
yes.
there.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about crab imperial before and just like where it comes from. It's just one of those things. And these crab cakes that he makes, they're huge. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you look at it and it's just like instant craving. And his Instagram obviously has gained such a following. And now Alex, along with his business partner, are going to be opening a brick and mortar in Fells Point. It's in the former home of Bad Decisions and Baltimore Built Bistro. So this is that corner spot right on Fleet Street. It's expected to open by the end of the summer. And I think that the good thing about it is that he already has this following and people are going to be able to go in and taste the food without having to pre-order it or go through, you know, a private chef or a catering event.
I mean, it's kind of amazing to think that a business was made from great photography.
You're right. Yeah. I think that's happening more often than not, you know, nowadays. And it's a great way to get your name out there. It's a great way to, you know, even his website, he has this really professional video where he kind of walks through the steps that he takes with every single event and his inspiration behind the cooking. And it really is, I mean, it seems like very indulgent fare. It's definitely not like light
right.
fare. It's like, you know, these heavy seafood pastas and Alfredos and heavy protein dishes, but really something that I think Fells Point diners and diners around the city are going to latch on to for sure.
Do we know where these followers are from? Are they all local?
I think so. So they have a presence in D.C. for sure, and Baltimore, obviously. So, I mean, I would think that they probably expanded beyond the local area, as most food accounts do.
I mean, that's really impressive.
It is, yeah. And he actually works out of Be More Kitchen in Govan's. Mm-hmm. So he's... you know, had a presence there. He won their big Battle of the Brands event last year, which is coming back soon. So stay tuned for more coverage on that. And he's also released an EAP cookbook recently. So there's a lot going on for Alex Perez.
Yeah, I'll remember the name.
Yes, for sure. And more to come on him, like I said.
Where does the Pappy part come from?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a good question. I think, you know, on the surface, people are like, oh, Fells Point and Poppy's Kitchen, but and Poppy's Tacos. You know, that's a little confusing. But I'm sure that, you know, both businesses have good inspirations behind the names.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely be on the lookout for that. That was some good news that came through this week. And something else I wanted to talk about. So Ciao Bella in Little Italy is going through a little bit of a transformation. It's currently still open for dinner, but a new rebranded concept is going to be officially unveiled with a ribbon cutting ceremony at the end of August. And so this new name, the new name of this place is called Lou Gambino's. It's a tribute to owners Tony and Lisa Gambino, who are brother and sister. And their new business partner, none other than Ray Lewis, former Raven.
I just love this bit of news.
Yeah.
It's my favorite food news of the week.
It definitely is. And, you know, we are going to dive into it a little further. We mentioned it in our open and shut column. But I spoke with one of the partners earlier this week, and it seems like it's going to very much preserve those old school Italian recipes that Ciao Bella has had forever, but also... Ray Lewis, he's a pescatarian. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, no. Yeah. Wow. He must eat a lot of fish. He's a big guy.
Yeah, exactly. So they're definitely planning to add more fish to the menu. And he wants to take more of a locally sourced focus. So just like instead of using dry herbs, they want to use fresh herbs from local gardens and local vegetables and things like that. And the interior is also getting a very big refresh. So I think it's going to be great. The story, which we'll delve into further in an upcoming piece online, is, you know, Ray Lewis used to go to Ciao Bella during his career as a Raven after games.
I love this.
Yeah, and Tony took very good care of him. He would, like, bring him out ice buckets for his... for his joints while he was, you know, at the dinner table. And
while
he
was eating his fish.
Yeah, and I think they've just established such a great relationship over the years. So it seems like it's going to be an awesome addition, and I think it's good timing with football season coming up. I think it'll be a hub for games and specials.
I cannot wait. You know, and this is the, you know, I've been, this has nothing to do with the Sopranos, of course, but absolutely nothing. But I've been watching the, there's so many food scenes in the Sopranos.
And no,
like, all they do is
it's
eat
connected.
Italian food.
Yeah.
It's really been making me want to eat Italian food. But, you know, this is cool. I mean, I you know, there are a lot of athletes that get involved in restaurants. They lend their names to places. I'm sitting here thinking, I wonder if there are other places in Baltimore where athletes, you know, have gotten themselves involved, maybe behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I think Cal Ripken at one point was involved in the old Harvey's space in Green Spring. It wasn't called Harvey's at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, I interviewed Pete Rose from the Phillies. He was involved. He had a like a sports bar or something along those lines. But I wonder how much Ray's mark will be made here. How often he'll eat there?
Yeah,
it sounds really fun. Ciao Bella was actually the very first Little Italy restaurant I'd ever gone to when I came to Baltimore.
No way!
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long ago was that?
20 something years. Yeah.
That's incredible.
So I love Little Italy. I'm glad that it's there. I feel like it probably could use a little love, and this might be the injection that it needs, the injection of energy and celebrity talent. So
yeah, for sure. I spoke with I had a really great call with Deb Poquette, who is a partner in the business, and she's had a longstanding relationship with Ray, and she, you know, just kind of said that he's hoping to be as involved as possible. I think anything that's really tied to the community, he's very passionate about. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping he's dining, like you said, I'm hoping he's dining there, you know, a lot, and definitely bringing some good vibes and positivity to a neighborhood that has been so tight-knit forever and continues to be.
I know he smokes cigars over at the Elk Bar cigar.
Oh, really?
Members only. Yes, he's big into cigars, so he can walk over there and smoke a cigar.
That's
at
the
night's end.
Yeah. I like that. And I think there's definitely something, I'm going to think on that, like local athletes who have been involved in the food scene.
Yeah. Do you remember when Charles Palmieri, the actor,
Chaz.
Opened Chaz?
Yes.
He and Sergio Vitale from Aldo's were good friends.
Yes.
And they opened up Chaz together, which was actually really good when it first opened.
I know.
It was in Harbor East, not Little Italy.
Right. Well, I mean, close.
Close enough, yeah.
But it's sad that that didn't
really take off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But totally, that's really cool. So I'm looking forward to that. Again, that ribbon cutting ceremony is something that's going to happen at the end of August. And ROFO, Royal Farms Chicken, opened inside Cross Street Market last week.
I saw it. I was just there checking out a space earlier this week. Yeah, it's one of the things that's open. There's only a few things that are open right now in ROFO. They're the neon lights.
Yes.
Blue and green.
I like that. And I think, I mean, it's definitely different. Obviously, Baltimoreans are used to getting their ROFO chicken attached to a convenience store that has possibly a gas station. So it's different. It's a new kind of way to get that familiar fare that we've all come to know and love throughout the years. What are your thoughts on Rofo chicken?
Yeah, so just in general or being in Cross Street?
Both, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be in Cross Street. I missed the news bulletin. So I was actually going to interview the owners of Sobeachy, whom I know you know.
Chanel and Leo.
Yeah, they're awesome. Wonderful. Yeah, new Haitian restaurant that's or stall that's going to be opening up. They've had a few delays on construction. But I was wandering around just to see what was open, and there's Rofo. you know, I've kind of come around. At first, it took me by surprise. I'm not a big fast food person, even though I do like Rofo chicken. And I thought, well, why are they here? You know, this is all about little local Maryland businesses. But Rofo is very Maryland. It's very Baltimore. We love our Rofo the same way we love our burgers and Bows and O's. So I kind of think it's okay that it's there. It'll draw people into the market and ultimately, I think, help all the vendors.
Absolutely.
And I do like Rofo, although I don't think I've eaten it since 2017 when we last wrote about it.
Yes. Wait, let's talk about that piece because
it was really fun.
I love it. So our former digital editor, Jess Mayhew, who we talk about all the time, had this idea that she was inspired by. It was Seattle Magazine that had the idea to rank all of the Starbucks locations in Seattle. And we said, well, what if we turned it into a Baltimore thing and ranked all of the Royal Farms stores within city limits? And the result is something that I think we're all really proud of. It's live on our website if anybody wants to check it out. We kind of took the edit staff and it was divide and conquer. We all took a couple stores and reviewed Royal Farms stores and we ranked them. Do you remember which ones you did?
Yeah, I remember two of them. Actually, it wasn't just the city. It was the county as well.
Okay.
I went to a couple in the county.
Yeah.
I went to the one on Falls Road, which was great. It's near Mount Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I remember remarking that they had everything from engine oil to Advil, anything you could possibly need.
That's true.
To go with your fried chicken. I remember them being nice. It was clean. But just the amount of things that they sold there, it was kind of like a general store. So I think we ranked them pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Jess gave us a very specific scale of things to look for, and then each place was assigned a number and ranked, as you say. So there was that one. And then the Smith Avenue, excuse me.
I am doing like you went all the way out there?
I will be doing a story on Smith Island, that's what
they
I said.
They have Rofo out there?
The Smith Avenue outlet was newly renovated, so that was really nice. But what I didn't like about it was they posted, probably by law, the amount of calories.
Oh, no.
And like, I don't know whether it was like a, you know, like, well, I think it was like a couple of pieces or something, just a normal dinner portion. And it was like 1,400 calories, you know, which is enough for a day.
Totally.
You know,
like 1,500
for someone my size. So that was a major turnoff. I, in general, don't like, it takes away the pleasure of what I'm eating. I try not to think about calories when I'm eating.
Right.
I don't want them posted right in front of my face as I'm ordering.
Totally, rightfully so. Yeah.
So they lost major points for that. But the place was clean. It was pretty. The chicken was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you? Do you remember where you went?
Yeah. I remember I took, I think I did Key Highway, which is great. I like that one. I get gas there all the time. And they have counter seating overlooking the Domino Sugar sign. Yeah,
I've never seen that.
It was a huge plus in my ranking and my calculation.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah,
it's like a restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like near the front window, so it overlooks the gas station part. But then you have this like killer view of it's in Locust Point. So
what number was I? I'd put that at number one.
Yeah, it was close. It was definitely close up. So the Key Highway one, and then I did the one. Like in the heart of downtown on Light Street near Royal Farms Arena, actually. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying that it was busy, but I mean, can you fault them? They're always busy. It's like right in the heart of downtown.
Right.
But I think the selection was really good. And then what was the last one I went to? I think it was somewhere else kind of in South Baltimore. But I mean, I remember saying, oh, the one that's right off of 95 across from Horseshoe Casino on Russell Street.
Oh, yeah.
I think I was still living in Federal Hill at the time. So I like took all of the ones. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we all did. We just took the ones that were closest to us. Yeah. And that one, I think I said was great. Oh, wait, I had a note for that one. When I went, I don't think it was like an unreasonable hour, but I think they were out of one of these. They were out of Western Fries.
What?
And I was like, how
was the sign still open?
Exactly.
You know, on open.
Right, yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's just such a bummer. I think especially people who want that like full chicken box experience.
Totally.
To not have the Western, I mean, it's essential. So. Yeah.
Now that's a major point deduction right there.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun to, you know, as we were saying, even with Atwater's last week, which is not fast food, they have all these locations.
Right.
So you expect a certain quality and consistency is everything when you own a restaurant.
Yes.
Or it's why McDonald's is so popular. The burger in Tokyo is going to be the same as the burger in Baltimore.
Yeah.
But it is fun because it isn't the same. There's, you know, a lot of human error and circumstance that keeps it from being the same. And even the neighborhood, you know, maybe Western Fries are really popular in one place, but
exactly.
Not in another. So
right.
That was a really fun story.
Yeah.
I remember it did really well, and I think we're talking about pushing that again. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And on the page that has our podcast episode, I'll be sure to link to it if any listeners want to check it out. That was definitely a fun one. It's always fun to look back. And PSA, we did have one closing that we saw this week. Any tourists and or locals that are in the downtown area near Power Plant Live, the poke spot that's there is closed. I was actually walking around there last weekend, and there's a sign on the door that says restaurant closed, and their phone line is disconnected, so telltale signs. But luckily, we have plenty of poke to go around in Baltimore. It's definitely, when do you think that trend like really started to ascend?
You know, I'm just trying to remember that when the place in our house opened.
Hilo.
Hilo.
Yeah.
I feel like that's maybe when poke came on the radar.
Yeah.
What's that been? Maybe 4 years?
Yeah. That's crazy to think
about.
It's been
remember
that
when ceviche was a word nobody
oh,
knew?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like poke followed. Poke is Hawaiian, as you said. Yeah, I think poke came about then.
Yeah,
you know,
and now
became much more of the general lexicon.
Right, and now it's everywhere. I know there's Hilo. There's a bunch of places in the downtown area.
There's
the
a
county.
Place, yeah, on Reisterstown Road.
Yes,
and
I've never been to that one. Mm-hmm. The place that's near Lenny's.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, I've never been to that one. I've heard good things.
No, my friend Jody owned a pocketbook store that I went to all the time when it was there.
Oh, that's right.
I haven't been back since it's poke.
Right.
She owned Treasure House, used to be there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also one that's opening across Street Market. We were just talking about that. I think Oh No Poke is its name. So
it's fun to see the next big thing. I mean, I feel like poke is now old news, so
yeah.
There will be some new thing.
Right.
I don't know what it'll be.
But, you know, it'll be something. But I think, you know, it's always fun to look at these rising trends. Something that I was reporting around this week and the story is forthcoming was kind of an old school trend, but never really goes out of style, BLTs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The old BLT.
Yeah. I mean, it's just such a good old school standby. I think it's a year-round sandwich, but for some reason in the summertime, it's just like really the saltiness and the juiciness of the tomatoes and
it has all the every element. We're talking about textures,
yeah.
You know, the softness of the bread, the crunch of the bacon, and the saltiness of the bacon, and then sort of a little bit of brightness from the lettuce and the crunch.
Yes,
it sort of has everything, and the mayo kind of sweetens everything together. I'm not a big mayonnaise person, but that is the one time I'll definitely eat it.
Yeah, I can't imagine it without the mayo.
Yeah, and then it lends itself to people add avocado. Are you finding this?
Sometimes yes,
chicken gets added.
Yeah, I won't give too much away about my story, but I really am looking forward to kind of weaving together what Baltimore restaurants do that's similar and what they do that's different, what they do to make, you know, their own kind of unique spin on this classic sandwich. I think we have some great options. I think Atwater's comes to mind. They have a really good one. I also was able to talk to Dorian at Neapole, which, you know, their smoked salmon BLT has like, you know,
it's
kind
famous.
Of, yes,
yeah.
It's definitely put them in a category
rich.
All their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to telling that story. Hopefully it'll be up by the time this podcast goes live, so everybody can check that out. But I'm always down for a good BLT.
Yeah, me too. I do like the one at Atwater's. They use applewood bacon. It has very little fat.
Uh-huh.
And it's super crisp. And I'm not a big meat eater, but, you know, bacon's the gateway meat.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It definitely
and
is.
It's super salty, and I love me some bacon.
Yes. So, so good. So what was your best bite this week, Jane?
Well, I went to Nyla's Kitchen. I'm still working on my Global Eats stories. So Nyla's is Senegalese food. The owner is from Senegal. It's in Govan's, just south of the Senator in Belvedere Square. Mm-hmm. And it takes up an entire block. There's a carryout area and then more like a white tablecloth fine dining section that I went to sit down, although the prices are really fair. The portions are huge. I mean, two people can get in there for probably $25, you know, total.
I love it. I'm so glad you visited.
So we, you know, we ate many dishes, all of which I really enjoyed, but it was the drink that was most memorable for me. It's BYOB. I love my wine and with my dinner, but we didn't bring wine. And I ordered this amazing pineapple ginger juice. It comes in a pitcher. It's $10, easily shareable for two or even three. And it was so refreshing. It was, you know, in the middle of the heat wave. And I know you've had the juice there as well.
So
it was just
good.
Absolutely delicious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wouldn't think of juice with dinner, but the ginger was really, it was super gingery, and it just really went well with the spicy foods.
Yes. Yeah. I think that they it introduces a cuisine that, you know, isn't totally represented in Baltimore. I believe it's like one of the very few, if not the only.
Yes.
And it's just such a great vibe and atmosphere in there. The owner is coming around and, you know, saying hi to all of the tables and serving you personally. And it's beautiful, that space. Lots
it's
of like orange tones.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Lots of photographs of the country, a flag, you know, from Senegal. These lights that I think are made of gourds. I thought they were coconuts at first, but I think they're like hollowed out gourds.
Wow.
And lots of references to trees because there's, you know, a lot of famous species of trees.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that begins with a B. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
That's in sort of all the photographs of Senegal. And, you know, it's a cuisine. The hallmark is the spices, the mixture of the spices. But, you know, they eat lots of rice. They ate a lot of fish. It's not that the food itself, like I had red snapper, it was just the way that it was spiced.
Right.
It's not that the individual ingredients are things that you wouldn't know.
Right.
Unfamiliar, but it's the combinations and the way they use their vegetables. And there's also a French influence because it was a French colony. So it is amazing how much food can tell a story.
Yes.
And
right.
Just, you know, I didn't know a lot about Senegal before before eating there, but just if all you do is sit in the space, and the menu is really instructive. They had photos of each of the dishes, which I really appreciated, and sort of a little explanation of what each dish was. So I felt like I got a little cultural lesson just by sitting there.
No, totally.
Yeah, and our server was actually Nigerian. He was lovely, and the owner was sitting in the back, and I went and actually spoke with him afterwards and just told him what a great experience it was. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, people should go if you haven't gone. It's a place really worth supporting.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner himself has a great story. He came here in 1999. He worked at a Kentucky Fried Chicken and somehow got into real estate, and I think is really very successful. 25% of the proceeds from the restaurant go to a youth center.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I mean, that's a huge percent.
It is. That definitely is.
So I actually need to call him. I don't know whether the youth center is in Baltimore or whether it's back in Senegal.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, I think his heart is really in a great place. So it's about really good things, this place.
Yeah, I really, you're right. It's worth supporting, like you said. And I think it's a good one if you're looking to get a little out of your comfort zone with food.
It's not so out of the comfort
zone.
As I said, the ingredients will be familiar, but the flavors and the spices might feel a little bit unique, and wash it down with some ginger pineapple juice
Wait,
you had another juice,
didn't you? I'm forgetting exactly what it is, but it's like a deep purple, and it's very, very native to the country.
It's like a berry and some sorrel, maybe.
Yes. It's definitely that sorrel drink. But you know, a good example is I actually work with a youth organization called Thread, where you mentor a high school student, and myself and the other volunteers who work with our student, we have been making it a priority to take her to try different, you know, restaurants that get her out of that comfort zone. I mean, she's 16 and she's open to trying new things, but at the same time, her palate isn't like super. I mean, you know, she's 16. She eats what teenagers eat.
Right.
But she loved it. She absolutely loved it. I think she had the chicken dish that is close to fried chicken. We're talking all about fried chicken today. It's crazy.
Everything goes back to fried chicken.
Yes, but she loved it. She really enjoyed it. She enjoyed the drinks, and I think it was a great way to kind of expose her to a different cuisine.
Oh, so lovely.
Yeah. Just a good example of what we're talking about.
I'm not
about.
Telling my kids about this one. They eat me out of house and home as it is, keeping this secret to myself.
I like it. I like it. Very cool. I did have a poke bowl this week because I was on the hunt for it, which is when I found that restaurant that had closed, which was a great best bite. But I also want to talk about, I had the stuffed grape leaves at Bellagio Cafe that are so good.
Yeah.
I think that that's like a true best bite that I think, you know, if you're in the area, it's Bellagio Cafe. It's on York Road in Towson. Been around for years.
Very family style.
Yes, 100%. And they were so good. I don't know why, but in my mind, I'm used to grape leaves being cold.
Like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, but the filling that was in these was warmer. It's not like the grape leaves themselves were cooked, but lots of rice, lots of great flavorful spices.
Was there lamb in it?
No, it was vegetarian. It was just rice. The consistency kind of reminded me of like a hearty like chicken stew or a chicken soup. But they are so good. I didn't even know if I liked grape leaves when
really?
I ordered them.
Yeah. Were they long and thin, like more like a cigarette, or were they short?
They were more short and bulky. They were very, very good. I think Bellagio is another place, you know, go if you haven't been in a while, or go if you've never tried it at all.
Did you dip them in tzatziki or yogurt?
No, you didn't even need to. Yeah. They were really flavorful. We also got a side of, just to start, like a side of baba ganoush with the fresh pita. And it's really incredible. And of course, the great thing is it's now next to a Charmery location.
Oh,
so
that's you can get ice cream. Did you do that too?
I did. I had to. They're literally right next to each other.
They're best friends too.
I do.
They're the best. Did you go with your parents?
No, I actually went with my cousin, who I'm really close with, and he's very he's in the hospitality industry. So
that's fun.
He's always down to come and try new restaurants with me. But it was wonderful. Definitely another one to be on people's radar if it's not already.
Well, in another episode, we'll talk about how you decide who you're taking with you for reviews.
I love that.
There really is a lot to it. You learn, you get burned by taking the wrong people.
Like, you're right. You're
taking
totally
your vegetarian to the steakhouse, your vegetarian friend.
I feel like we've touched on this on the pod before, but we will delve deeper into it for sure. Yeah, definitely. And next week we have a special guest joining us, so hopefully everybody will tune in. I'm excited.
I'm really excited. Do you want to say who it is? Or are we keeping it a
secret? We'll keep it a secret for now. But really excited about that, so be sure to check out next week's episode. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this week's episode. And you can now pick up a copy of our August issue, our Best of Baltimore issue, that is on newsstands now. And you can check out our food coverage every day at baltimoremagazine.com.
Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.